Paradise! Woo! Hey, everybody watching out there, what's your favorite Bruno Mars song? Do you want to take your piggy figure to the moon?
Today I don't feel like doing anything.
What y'all gonna do? Is that Bruno Mars?
What I just sang?
Yeah.
That's Lazy Sunday by Bruno Mars.
You're a Lonely Island fan.
I am. Sorry, I'm moving that in because I want people to hear.
This guy loves SNL digital shorts.
Oh.
Hey, check this out.
What?
Yeah. I'm on a set doing the Mega 64 podcast.
Theme song. I'm like, okay, I let him get what he wants. He buy me Yves Saint Laurent and the new whip. When I go best as a horse, I got the trunk in the front. I'm the hottest in the street. No, you probably heard of me. Got a bag and fix my teeth. Hope you hoes know it ain't cheap. And I pay my mama bills. I ain't got no time to chill. Think these hoes be mad at me. They baby father run a bill. Say, little bitch, you can fuck with me if you wanted to. These expensive, these... We're back, secret podcast on a hot Monday morning. Is today Monday?
It is Monday.
And technically afternoon.
It's the afternoon.
I can't place myself any which way, left or right. I'm so fucked up from the weekend, y'all.
Well, you know, did you turn up?
I turned up.
Nice.
I got turnt. Shouts out if you're watching on this secret Monday afternoon. I'm seeing Nitro Buds in the chat, Duke of Jukes in the chat.
Yep.
Steven Spielberg, my favorite film director / rapper. Yo, you guys are dedicated. You seek us out no matter where we go.
Hell yeah.
We can't get away from you guys.
Probably in class right now at school watching.
Yeah, somebody's going to get kicked out.
You know, if Garrett was here, he would tell you our demographic is like 8 to 13-year-old children.
Right.
Somehow he got convinced. All the comments on that previous podcast were like, I'm 22, I'm 25. I was watching you guys when I was 13.
Okay.
Yeah.
13 years ago. Right. I think Garrett still thinks it's like 2006. Seriously.
I don't think that all adds up.
Right? I've cracked the Garrett code. Everything that's weird about that guy comes from a place where in his mind, we're still operating in the mid-aughties.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't realize we're like almost to 2020. And he's like almost 50 years old. How old is Garrett? I don't even remember.
35?
He's almost 50.
35.
He's almost 50.
Yep.
35 is almost 50.
I think about that all the time. The new lasagna cat that Fidel Farm just did and how they had everyone call in and say how many sexual partners you had. But Garrett didn't listen to the whole video and just called and gave his age. So Garrett Hunter, 35. That is the funniest fucking thing to me. That is the biggest Garrett move of all time.
Yeah, but you know what? Knowing Garrett, that's a lowball estimate.
I was going to say.
He's probably closer to 200.
Now that Garrett's not here, let's debate. Was that a cover-up story? Because I wonder if he did it.
That's a coincidence, then.
I wonder if he did it and didn't realize they put it in the video or something.
Why would he do it, then?
All right. Check it out. Can't remember her name, but she was weird.
This is the worst thing we've ever had in the podcast.
The girl from...
Oh, man.
Oh,
look, that's just five. It took me like 15 seconds, all right? And I know the list goes on. And I didn't even have all the details.
Oh, my Lord.
Oh, man.
There's more. It probably goes up to 200. Dude Coop says, keep it rolling. All right. His current. All right. I'll make a list. I'll come back next week.
Yeah, come back next week.
I'll compile
the list. And then he'll be here and he can verify.
Yeah, you know, you got to have the guy here to confirm or deny the allegations. Yeah.
But Sean's here today, so he can go next.
All right, Sean. Jenny.
Okay, Jenny confirmed.
That's confirmed.
Don't dance around that one. We know that
one. And I think that's
true.
I think that's the only one.
I think we hit the hard line.
One and only.
I think she retroactively deleted all your past encounters. Blade Runner style. She hunted him down and retired him.
I want to go on record and say, too, if I ever get that going, I'll announce who it was.
Oh, if you ever have sex.
Yeah, I'm. That's not my thing right now, but if I stumble into that
My boy Rocco just confirmed he's a virgin. Sad day.
I respect that.
I'm not going to say anything either way.
Well, when it comes to Rocco, it's what is the definition of is? What is and what isn't?
Probably, I got a clear definition, but I'm going to keep it to myself because that is my promise I made. I am a confirmed Catholic.
Let's go around the table. What is sex? Define it. Is it
what is the media? What
to me?
Sex?
Any, even a kiss? Even a kiss is sex.
That's sex to you.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
A kiss can be sex.
Okay.
So there's my definition.
You guys had sex with your moms? Honestly, what are you doing?
That's why I was surprised by that answer.
I'm going to have to take it back. Depends on the kind of kiss. All right. Next topic.
Next topic. Speaking of sex, did you guys hear what Microsoft said today?
I can't wait to hear.
Microsoft, we're on the let me just preface this. I feel really bad because a lot of people there are pretty tired of the Microsoft hate.
Well, they should be not so shitty.
The people at Microsoft are tired of the Microsoft hate.
No, there's when last week we did it where we brought up the Xbox One X. And no one there was buying it. We kind of pulled everyone there,
but no one was buying it because it sucks.
And we talked about and it was
did
like
that come out,
and it was kind of no, it's out tomorrow.
Oh, okay. Get in line.
And there was some people were not. Wait. No, is it out tomorrow? Yeah, I think it's tomorrow. But anyway.
Super Tuesday.
But, like, I don't think any of us, I just want to clarify, I don't think any of us are coming from a place of, you guys don't like what we like, or whatever. It's not that. It's that we just don't know anybody personally that's doing it, like, that's involved in the Microsoft ecosystem. So it's just, honestly, I come from a place of just surprise. I have an Xbox One, though.
Wait, what are you talking, what ecosystem, what are you talking about?
Just, I'm talking about, there are people who like to, you know, that prefer to play all their games on Xbox. I'm not hating on those people. I just don't know anybody that's doing that this console cycle. So that's where I'm coming from. It's more just surprised by that. I'm not bagging on anyone's interests. You know, just letting everybody know. I'm not trying to be a, you know, dickhead here.
Everybody I know who plays on Xbox seems a little bit lonely.
Because their lists are
Way where it's like, Derek, are you going to get an Xbox? No, I got PS4. Oh.
Yeah.
I don't know anybody with an Xbox. I was like, you have one.
Well, anyway, the reason I'm bringing this up is Xbox One X comes out tomorrow. And on the eve of this release, I think the head of the gaming division of Microsoft was like, he dropped a thing today where he was talking about the Xbox and said, you could maybe see some Microsoft titles, some of our first party stuff show up on stuff like PlayStation. Wait, what? And so now rumors are running wild that, like, okay, are they starting to pivot here? And it's just funny that it's on the eve of, like, their most expensive system ever.
He let that slip at the wrong time.
But yeah, now there's kind of some rumors going around that's like, are we start getting Halo and shit on PlayStation or what? Because let me say, like, some of those, I mean.
No. You'll probably get Destiny. I could see Destiny.
Well, Destiny's multi-platform. That's not owned by.
That's Bungie. Already. Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, what do I know?
That's you're thinking of that. It's by Bungie, but Bungie's not owned by Microsoft.
Destiny is kind of like the new Halo, the unofficial spiritual successor.
Yes. Yeah.
We said this last week, I think, in the EXPCon, but put everything on the Switch so I can take it anywhere.
That's how I feel.
I don't care about Microsoft games going to PlayStation.
That'll never happen.
Yeah.
The Switch is for little kids and babies.
Well, they're having Doom coming out on that.
But it's going to fail because parents won't let their kids play.
You think it's
going to
fail?
Yeah.
I know so many fucking adults with the Switch. I don't.
Yeah, I think it's going to do well.
I think there's definitely an audience for that stuff.
I still see people who are like, Mario, greatest Zelda ever, still doesn't justify a Switch purchase.
Yeah, I see that.
I still see that a lot. And then they'll buy the Xbox.
Yeah.
And it's what, but there's literally no games on this that you couldn't get anywhere else.
I was just talking to somebody last night about this. I don't remember who. But I think it was Steve. I think it was Steve from the UK who was in town.
Hey, our friend Steve flew all the way from the UK.
He did. He said this and it's true.
He should be here now.
I feel like if you're not convinced on a Switch now, you won't be. That's it.
That's true.
I feel like they gave you the biggest Zelda ever, this gigantic new Mario game. I feel like it's all the usual Nintendo shit. And I just feel like there will be more stuff. And not even saying that there won't be better stuff. But I just feel like if you're still going, I don't know.
Well, I think
they won't bring you around.
Here's my take on this. I think it's a case of you don't know what you don't know. And if you've never played the new Zelda, sure, and if you've never played the Switch, you don't know how cool it is. And it's like, I'm satisfied not having it.
Yeah.
But once I played that Zelda, for me, I was like, holy shit.
Yeah.
I am glad I have a Switch.
Yeah.
This game is fucking
And now I know
cool.
It's also on the Wii U, but I feel like it wasn't the
different
same.
Experience.
It wasn't the same.
Different experience. Totally. And the new Mario, I'm loving it.
Yeah.
If I didn't have a Switch, maybe I would say like, do I want to buy a console just to play Mario? But now that I'm playing Mario Odyssey, I'm really having a blast.
It's
and
awesome.
Again, I'm real happy to have a Switch.
Yeah.
Not going to get an Xbox One X OXO. Not doing it. If they called it, actually, if they called the new Xbox XOXO, I might consider it.
Yeah, it's tempting.
Do you... Now, let me ask you guys. Now, I'm going to bring up, on the subject of Mario, tell me if...
Truck.
This truck.
This is what happens when you try to film.
Nobody at home can hear the truck. Just ignore the truck.
Sure I can.
I'm going to make sure they hear it so they know what I was talking about.
Xbox Triple X.
That I would get.
Pornhub preloaded onto the box.
I really love the new Mario. Now, hear me out on this.
I really love the new Mario.
The negativity, but...
No. In all fairness, because I don't want to sound like, fuck Microsoft, Nintendo forever. I want to get into this a little bit.
Okay.
I love the new Mario.
Get into it.
It is a fantastic game. I love it.
But...
I'm wondering if anyone else feels like, though, that it's not so much a... What am I trying to say? I would never say I was disappointed in this game because I'm very happy. But I think I am disappointed in what could have been or what isn't there.
Excuse me?
That's right. I wonder if... I have difficulty with... I just wonder if it's really kind of the evolution of Mario that... You know what I mean? Like, I feel like when I saw these first trailers, I thought they're going to kind of push... Finally, we're getting like the next step in Mario that we really needed because the past few were very kind of simple games. You know what I mean? Like very like old style Mario games.
Right.
And I think we were all waiting for like, hey, let's do something like Galaxy again or something like where it was more on a grand scale. And this game is on a grand scale. I feel like it's there's so much Nintendo charm and so many clever little things around every corner. Every minute, I'm impressed by something where, I'm like looking at like, how can I cross this lava? Oh, can I really throw my hat at a fireball and I become a fireball? Like, it's really...
So what's your problem with
it? I'm impressed with it, but I still kind of feel like Mario is locked in this like... level select and cutscene kind of thing that I almost wish that it, you know, when we got Mario 64, there was this sense of freedom with the hub world that you were in and you were kind of like discovering these worlds on your own and like going into the basement and there's like, wait, there's like a hidden painting in here. And do you know what I mean? Kind of this kind of quiet sense of exploration almost. And I still feel like we haven't gotten back to that or tried to even touch it or surpass it. So I still feel like Mario's, I don't know, this game is great, but it still kind of feels to me like this product of market research more than an artistic statement, I guess. But I don't know. It's still a great Mario game, so I'm not trying to... I wonder if anybody else knows what I'm talking about. Again, not disappointed in the game. I love the game, but I wonder if anybody... else feels that way. I don't know. That's where I'm coming from with it.
I don't know. I feel like my biggest problem having with it is that I was so used to playing open world Zelda that I'm trying to climb walls in this and realize I can't do it, which is not to fault in this game.
Right.
But I keep doing that because I'm thinking like, oh, I can go anywhere, but I can't.
Yeah.
But that's my problem. That's not the game's problem.
Yeah. I think I just feel like it's still trying to like, go, oh, gotta hit the Mario notes. We gotta hit all the Mario notes. rather than embarking on a new frontier, I
no,
guess.
No, I don't know. I think putting the hat on everything is...
But really that's awesome. Yeah. That's true. That's awesome.
Let me cut through the bullshit. Yeah. You guys are doing a lot of gum slapping.
What am I? I didn't say anything negative about the game at all.
But you're not hitting the pay dirt.
Okay.
This is such a good Mario game.
Yeah.
It's so much better than any of the past 5 or 10 years worth of Mario games.
Oh, I agree. I do agree still, no matter what I say.
Now, I didn't get into Mario Galaxy.
That, to me, was my favorite.
I know a lot of people love that game.
That was an incredible game.
Yeah. I didn't get into the new Super Mario Brothers on Wii.
I didn't get into that one.
They've kind of gone through this.
Yeah.
Let's get back to the retro 2D Mario, but, you know, kind of... They haven't known where they were going for a little while.
Yes.
But I feel like Mario Odyssey is a grand slam.
It is a success, and it is better than all those ones. I totally agree.
I think that, you know, for everything that it doesn't have in common with the Mario 64, there's a lot that it does have in common with Mario 64.
Sure.
But it still stands alone as its own game. And there are new dynamics to it that
are great.
That are great. That set it apart from all the other Mario games. Yeah. And I do think that there is a sense of exploration. Even though there isn't that hub level, I think that the levels themselves are so big that they each individually kind of give you that kind of that sense of exploration.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
I'm really enjoying it.
Yeah. Well, I am not talking shit on this game. I am loving this game. So don't take that as I'm bagging on it necessarily. I think just part of my brain thinks of what could have been, or maybe I don't know. I think honestly what's unfair here is, and I will keep comparing it, and it's not really fair, but I think in the wake of something as inspirational as Breath of the Wild, maybe I was thinking I would have that feeling in Mario, and I don't feel quite the same thing. But again, that's not necessarily fair to compare.
Well, you know, when you go into the desert world, Breath of the Wild, I felt like I was in this desert vast world. I can go anywhere, and that is not the same way.
I think you guys are comparing apples to oranges.
No, I agree. That's
I think it could very well be.
Taraka what he's feeling here, but
that's just a vibe that I had. But I'm not again like not. I wouldn't knock the game down because of my own fucking predilections.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Is this the biggest Bowser has ever been in any Mario game?
I don't know.
I see Bowser standing in front of Mario, and he's like fucking 50 times the size of Mario. And I think back in Mario, the original Mario, they were almost the same size.
Yeah, they kind of were.
In Super Mario, Bowser was maybe 1.5 times bigger, flying around in his little clown car.
Yeah.
Mario 64, okay, solid 4 times bigger than Mario. You grab him by the tail, you spin him around. Bowser's fucking huge in this game.
Yeah.
How big is Bowser going to get?
Yeah.
What does the future hold for Bowser?
What does the future hold for
Bowser? This is the biggest Bowser. See, this is my issue with Mario Odyssey. My main problem. Why'd you make Bowser so big?
Yeah. How about small?
Yeah. How's Mario supposed to compete with Bowser so huge? But they compensate it. Now, correct me. Now, I have a question for the world. Does anybody find Bowser's hair a little bit sexy?
Yeah.
In this game.
Yeah.
I haven't even noticed his hair.
What?
I haven't noticed it.
Bowser is all dressed up to get married to Peach.
I've noticed that.
And his hair is fire. He's got like this sexy...
Really?
Spoof.
I thought he was wearing a white hat.
Now he takes the hat off.
Oh, he does.
He's got like the sexy Macklemore haircut.
Whoa. I know we got a Macklemore situation. All right.
When you're editing the podcast...
Yeah.
Look up a picture of Bowser's hair.
Okay.
Though you should find a video because the way it kind of, he has this like tuft that like blows in the wind. I'm finding myself a little bit attracted to Bowser.
Okay.
In the new Mario Odyssey.
Sure.
And I don't know what that says about me. That's where I leave it.
There you have it.
Bowser's hair is on fire. It's so good looking. I'm feeling that hair.
Well, there you have it. The hair is great. The game is great. Everything about it is pretty damn good. I got the amiibos for the game.
Oh.
And they're all in like the white like wedding clothes and stuff like that. And I just thought some nerd is going to put that at the top of their wedding cake.
Oh,
like they look like those. They look like those figures. But anyway, what were you going to say?
Have you played two-player mode, Sean?
I have not played two-player mode.
You haven't played it with your kids or anything?
I played it with the kids
But you played Mario mode. With your kids, but you didn't do two-player mode?
When I was in Florida, I didn't. No. I watched them. Because, they're at the age now where they got it. I played, and I started their own game, and so they're playing that, and I'm just watching, helping. Like, if they have questions, I'll help them, or if they have a problem they can't get through, I'll do it for them.
Sure.
But, no, I've not tried two-player yet.
Well, two-player mode lets one person be Cappy, and one person is Mario.
Oh, that's cool.
Which is cool.
That is cool. But do you throw yourself?
You can throw yourself, but here's the thing. You don't have to come back. Oh. And you can get separated. Oh. So if somebody's Cappy and they're just, fucking around, it kind of makes Mario, useless.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I can't get to that ledge or I can't attack that enemy. So
now, if you're Cappy, can you give your own screen of where you're going?
No.
Oh, you're just gone.
Mario controls the camera, but Cappy runs wild. Cappy is, crazy spirit. Spectre.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know.
Okay. I want to give that a shot.
Anyways, try it out.
I'll check it out.
You should be Cappy.
That's a good idea.
Let your kids and be Mario.
Because it is cool them being the age now where they can just play it and they don't really need me to do it anymore.
Yeah.
I haven't. It's cool.
I really like the 2D. How it's incorporated.
Those parts are awesome.
And you know what's funny is seeing him wearing the different costumes in the 2D format. For some reason, is really charming.
Yeah.
To me.
Oh, I love that. Yeah.
Oh, I totally love that. And I'm really loving this is so stupid, but I like dressing Mario up.
Hey, that is all I did in Zelda was I got every single piece of clothing. Because I don't know why I'm so into that, but same thing with Mario. I want to get every outfit that he could possibly
wear. That's what the Switch has nailed. You can dress up Nintendo characters now.
Yeah.
However you want. You can put Mario in his underwear with, a little sailor cap on top.
Yeah.
Almost as sexy as Bowser with that hair. You can do some cool combinations. I really like the cowboy Mario.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, which it took me forever to get those coins to get the cowboy, but I was leaving that world until I got that fucking outfit. I wasn't leaving it.
I got the white tux and hat from the amiibo when I scanned that. It gave me that as a gift. And I haven't really taken that off because there's a David Lee Roth vibe from that. I dig it.
Yeah.
Nice.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't know if there's anything else to say about Mario. I thought I'd talk about another game that came out.
Yeah.
Activision gave us copies of Call of Duty. Are we going to call it? You know what? I don't know what the official.
Title is WWII.
Yeah, but the abbreviation, I think it should be COD Dubs.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully that's
it's WWII. So I don't know what that stands for.
Call of Duty for Wii.
COD Wii.
Is that what people are saying?
Yeah.
I just remember Call of Duty Black Ops became COD Blops. So.
COD Blops.
Jesus Christ.
That sounds like something else. But anyways, Call of Duty.
Call of Duty. Been playing that. And I normally am not the biggest Call of Duty guy. But, every couple of years I try one. It's like, what are they got Kevin Spacey in this one? No, that's not good now, but. At the time, it was a big deal. At the time, that was cool.
What did Kevin Spacey do to Call of Duty team?
Get Kevin Spacey to Game Days now? Has he fallen so far that he'll even do? I don't want him for the record.
Yeah,
but would he our convention now?
He would for the right price, and I ain't talking about money.
Oh, fuck,
Sean.
Fuck.
Uh-oh.
One hotel room night with Kevin Spacey. Wow. Do you think Harvey Weinstein will produce Mega 64 Version 4? Now that nobody in Hollywood.
Starring Kevin Spacey.
Nobody in Hollywood will work with him, but we're still small potatoes.
Yeah.
Would that be bad for us?
I think it would. We'll find out.
Is that bad?
Because Kevin Spacey keeps calling me, trying to get into our event, and I keep saying, Kevin,
is that bad PR?
You're going to get me into Game Days.
my best
Spacey.
Good job.
Anyway, so I check in and out, but I'm just kind of whatever on. Sometimes there's a great one, or one that you can play a lot. I've been really enjoying this one. The multiplayer, the multiplayer is Call of Duty, and I get killed a lot. As I always say, I'm not good, but, the multiplayer is fun. The campaign is awesome. The campaign is actually it's really crazy. Now that we have, because World War II was kind of they kept going back to that on the other consoles. But having it on this generation's hardware is nuts.
The graphics look amazing.
It's incredible. It's the, like, wow.
The facial expressions on the motion capture, you know, they're not even cutscenes, really. It just goes in.
Yeah, it's like a movie.
It's like a movie, and then you take control. But, yeah, the expressions on all the characters, it, like, phenomenal. I think this is a – we've never – I've never played a Call of Duty – every game that comes out kind of ups the ante, but this one was really significant to me where I was playing. I was like, damn, these graphics are really good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was pretty nuts.
You know what? This is my theory on... I've never played Call of Duty in my life before. This is the first one I've ever played. Mm-hmm. And I'm not playing multiplayer because, as I said, being my first time, I know there's no fucking point.
I'd rather play with people I know.
Real quick, just talking about multiplayer.
Yeah.
I like playing multiplayer Call of Duty games and... you know, first-person shooters, you do die a lot.
Right.
That comes with the territory.
Sure.
I think one, you have to just accept that, and but it makes when you actually have a good run way more fulfilling.
Sure.
Yeah.
You really have earned it. And I think a part of it, too, is just learning the map and learning, like, I've played this map so much, I know when I walk into this part, I'm going to get fucking annihilated. Well, you know what? This time, I'm not going to walk into that part. I'm going to stand back and wait for somebody else to walk in, and I'm going to annihilate them. And it's a learning curve.
Yeah.
So, you know, single player is constructed for you to beat it. Multiplayer is there's definitely like a challenge.
It's there to master.
You have to kind of like break through. But when you do, it's really fun.
Yeah. Well, you know, I was playing this game and I was telling them about it. I'm like, I stormed the beaches of Normandy. And then I'm realizing like these are real, like most Call of Duty's back in the day were like real events.
Yeah.
No, they weren't.
Originally, they weren't real events. I thought it was like real, and then all of a sudden they switched gears and got to like, you know,
modern warfare
and like think, you know, futuristic warfare.
They were based in World War II, but it was like real in the sense of these are the guns they used in World War II.
Oh, these but it wasn't outfits. Like the same like doing like missions that people actually went on.
I can't remember. I honestly don't remember. Is that not true?
I don't think it was. Beaches of Normandy before. I think that was a big deal back then.
Which Call of Duty?
I forgot. One of the earlier ones. Like,
two?
I know that like World War II games in the past have had Beachhead.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But this one is like... this one is, you know, kind of like Saving Private Ryan. Like, you're on the
It's very
boat,
Saving Private Ryan.
You know, the doors open up. The bunkers are up there. They start annihilating you. You have to fight your way up the beach and clear the bunkers. That is, like, what actually happened.
Right.
Yeah.
It's funny because Sean came in after playing it for the first time and he's like, I love the new Call of Duty. I stormed the beaches of Normandy last night. And I just laughed and I went, yeah, you stormed the beaches of Normandy. Yep. That was you.
That was me.
Yeah.
You were there.
On my couch. But my thought process is this. I really am enjoying it, but I felt kind of weird doing that. Like,
yeah. Now that it looks so real,
that's
and
the
it's
thing.
So,
it
yeah,
looks
we just
so,
talked about
if
that.
It was, if it looks shittier, like in the old days, it's just a video game.
Like, all right,
but now it looks so real. It's like, is this okay that I'm playing this?
I want to make a viral video. I won't make this video. I know it's going to go viral. So.
Yeah.
I want to get somebody who was at Normandy
okay.
to play that level
and
tell me how it stacks up.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yo, is this?
And if they can't beat it, level.
Harder than what you remember? Harder? Is this accurate? Is this easier?
Is this harder? Should I turn up the difficulty?
Which was more fun?
Yeah.
Actually being there or playing it on Call of Duty?
It just like it gave me a weird feeling and I didn't like I was having fun doing this and then like there's like guys with their legs blown off. I'm like, I don't know if I should be feeling this way.
Yeah.
When you watch Saving Private Ryan, I'm not having a fun time watching that scene.
Yeah.
It's hard to watch.
I told that to Rocco. I played it. It was fun. Great Call of Duty. But I felt weird.
Okay. Yeah.
I did feel like, you know, this actually happened.
Right.
To a lot of people. They died. It ruined their family. You know, it was hard. It was a hardship for our grandfather's generation to go through.
Right.
I'm sitting here on a couch in my underwear with a fucking Mountain Dew.
Yeah.
Running the same map. And it's like this kind of like it kind of, you know, makes. Not it doesn't cheapen the original, but it kind of makes it less, you know. Less, what's the word I'm thinking of? Like sanctified, maybe? Like less.
Yeah, it's just, it's just delicate, you know, whatever.
It is. And again, like, I don't know how to feel because I'm having fun playing this game, but also I don't know if I should be feeling that.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Someone in the chat did bring up, I think it was Chris Bix in the chat, did bring up that we did a video about this. with Heroes Over Europe.
Yeah, well, that yeah,
you,
yeah.
Ubisoft, it wasn't exactly the same thing.
But not yeah. exactly, but Ubisoft yeah. hired us to do that, and we thought, well, let's have vets who experienced it up against a kid who think he went through the hardest day of his life.
Right. You know? It so, wasn't yeah. D-Day like the deadliest day in human history?
Maybe. I mean, I that know. Like in modern history, who knows about the old times, but yeah, definitely. It was up there.
The chat will have the answer. I know.
Black Friday was
World War. They opened this game by saying World War II was the deadliest conflict in human history.
That's true.
But I think D-Day may have been the deadliest battle in World War II. Maybe I'm wrong. Yeah. I'm not a historian, but whatever. It's a remarkably famous day of death. Yeah. And then you're there getting killed and respawning.
Can you imagine, like, getting in a time machine and going back and showing the people who like, just did that, like, now this is a video yeah. game of this, like, the most horrific thing they've ever seen and done. Here's a video game about this that people are enjoying.
But I do appreciate, you know, for what it's worth, for what it's worth at all, I do appreciate, at least when I'm playing the campaign, they didn't make it as arcadey in terms of playing it. Man, when you get shot, it's bad. You're not regenerating health. You're not whatever. You got to find some shit
yeah.
to, like, you know, try to power through yeah. it, whatever. But that does all go out the window when you go to multiplayer, and yeah. then it's fucking loot boxes.
Hey, real quick, somebody in the chat suggested maybe entertainment is comedy / tragedy plus time. IDK, yeah. I believe you're thinking of the old axiom that says comedy is tragedy plus time.
Right.
Which I guess using that example, D-Day could be a comedy to you. I'm not going that far, but yeah. you know.
C-Day, comedy
if, day. Yeah, comedy day. If you're going to use the you know classic formula, you got to get it right and apply it. but anyway, you know what?
So
that being said, still fun.
Oh, yeah. That's the thing. I'm still, having fun. I had fun playing actually, it.
Still,
yeah,
you know, if I see a German, you're dead. I'm not thinking twice about it. I'm going to pick up the flamethrower and light you up.
Yeah.
That's just the yeah, way
that,
it is.
Actually, that was my moment talking about, like, it feeling weird. I was able to, I kind of knew what I was getting, so I was whatever. When I picked up the flamethrower, I had that moment of, like, man, shit, they used to use these.
Does this game, like, suck? Like, do they release this game in Germany?
I don't know.
They have to.
I don't know if they have.
Call of Duty is a huge franchise that they yeah. definitely have it in.
You know, it feels weird for me as an American. Might feel a whole lot weirder as a
That's
German.
A really good point. As I'm still playing fan. In like the sides of like, you know, my relatives. And
yeah,
like,
yeah. We were on the right side.
Can you imagine like guys. Knowing that like, oh yeah, my great grandpa was one of these guys I'm shooting. That's different.
People are saying they released it but without swastikas? That's interesting.
I'm not even, you know, what's funny too is I don't even think of those guys as Nazis, even though they are.
Right.
I just think of them as German soldiers.
Right.
Sure.
Because, you know, nowadays the whole connotation of a Nazi is a guy in America last week.
Right.
I'm just thinking like the German soldiers, but just mm-hmm. coming at it from that aspect, it's, you know, as a German, if you were a German person and you're playing a game where you're just killing Germans on site, does that make you feel bad? I wonder.
Right.
I don't know.
I can't say.
Yeah.
Tough
stuff.
But anyway, having fun.
But it's good. Get it. Get it. 10 out of 10.
Having fun. And now I'm playing South Park 2. So like, yeah. I sit I down at night thinking like, okay, I have 45 minutes to play a game. Which I don't know what to play. I have three games right now that I want to play. It's crazy.
I'm so in the Mario zone and actually Call of Duty 2. That I think I'm going to beat those real quick
and go
back to South Park, I think, because I don't know. I'm in the zone.
Yeah.
I'm in the zone, guys.
You know, just the thing, well, whatever. It doesn't need to go back to it. But I'm kind of tired of Germans just always being the bad guys. Mm-hmm. Even in when Wonder Woman came out this summer,
right,
it was like
that, yeah.
the Germans were just, they were treated like these were Nazis and they could all be killed.
I bet they're sick of it, too.
I bet they are. I was like, those weren't Nazis. Those were World War I Germans. Like, what the
sure.
fuck? Speaking of Wonder Woman, we had a video come out a little
yeah.
while ago.
Yes.
And everybody thought it was about Wonder Woman.
It wasn't, really.
But it wasn't. It was called Killing the Movie Industry.
Yes.
The saga of Piss Boy.
Yes.
I wasn't on the last podcast.
Right.
Was that I didn't even watch it. Was that a podcast or was it just a panel?
It was a podcast, and it was fucking scary.
It was our Halloween podcast. They scheduled us to do a podcast at EXPCon.
Right.
So we turned off all the lights.
And we filmed the night vision.
And had everyone sit around us.
Okay,
and we had a seance.
But we didn't really talk about this video.
yeah.
At all.
So the video came out.
Yeah.
Positive reaction from everybody. I was really happy to see that everybody really liked the video.
Yeah.
But I kind of, and I don't want to throw anybody under the bus. I don't want to offend your intellect out there if you're watching, but I kind of feel like a lot of people missed the point of the video. Didn't really get what we were trying to say.
Hmm.
I saw a lot of people were like, oh, I get it. These guys hate Wonder Woman. That wasn't really what the video was about. I saw that time and again. Oh, this video is about the DC franchise. Can I just say what the video was about real quick? I'll just break it down.
We executed the delivery of our message perfectly. So for the plebs who did not understand, that's on you. We are all, I mean, we are, our voice is clear. Yo. Always crystal.
Always.
The average person out is a C student. Is average. I know the A and B students got it like that. But for everybody else, 70% and below. Has anybody else out there noticed? Tell me if you've noticed this. Every freaking movie that comes out is a goddamn masterpiece, according to the commercials. Every movie that comes out is just advertised with one word praises. A masterpiece. Perfect. Brilliant. I see this and I'm just thinking, how many goddamn masterpieces can you make in a year?
A lot. Apparently.
Blade Runner's a masterpiece? Sorry, it's an alarm on my phone. Blade Runner's a masterpiece? Alien Covenant is a masterpiece. I'm seeing ads for Coco.
Coco's a masterpiece.
Coco's a masterpiece. I'm just thinking like, wow, congratulations. Another masterpiece. Brilliant. America is a nation of masters, and all they make are masterpieces.
But I think what it is obviously, yeah, movies have been doing shit like that for a million years. Okay, obviously it's to get you to the theater. Okay. But it... we're in this time where it kind of like, it still gets taken as law kind of like I remember Blade Runner, like the day before it came out, got an ad like that. But then all these people I know were posting like, confirmed what I thought, an Oscar contender. And it's like, well, no, why are we buying it? If this has been happening so many years, why are we, that still? Like, you know, it's interesting. Feel
like they say it all the time now where that means nothing to me. Like, yeah, I don't give a shit if you say it's a masterpiece because I've seen every movie ever be called a masterpiece. So,
at this point,
means nothing.
At this point, just make a new kind of trailer because every trailer, and I saw this for the new Assassin's Creed too.
Yeah.
It is just images that tell you nothing and then just one word all across the screen.
Yeah.
Amazing. A masterpiece. Right. A perfect experience.
Yeah, and that's where we're coming from is obviously there's extraneous, there's marketing that is, they're going to make it sound as good as possible, but where a lot of the stuff coming out they don't give you any other info. And I really think that was the kind of the downfall of Blade Runner in terms of just box office.
Yeah.
It's like, that's a great movie, but you didn't have a single trailer to just tell. All a trailer had to do was this guy's hunting down this. And that's it. But they all just said masterpiece.
Here's the thing. Don't get me wrong. I really like the new Blade Runner.
Oh, I love it.
I thought it was really good.
Yeah.
But it kind of took a shitter at the box office.
Yeah.
Happy Death Day beat it out. And it's because the average person who doesn't know anything about Blade Runner did not know what this movie is about.
They just kept hearing masterpiece.
They just heard it's so great. And then every other movie, sorry not to cut you off, but every other movie that's come out this year has been advertised the exact same way. A masterpiece. Brilliant. A work of art. Spellbinding. That's how Wonder Woman was advertised. That's how Alien was advertised, and even though you probably don't want to lump Blade Runner in with these crappier movies, the advertising just naturally lumps it in with those movies.
And why do we need to say anything? Like, I don't give a shit what Enid
Tell me what it's
said.
About and let me decide.
Let me see the trailer and stop putting words over the fucking images and let me just see it. Which is all that's all I feel like I want
to
say.
So what our video shows is like the you know, okay, so they keep doing that. They call everything a masterpiece. Okay, that's marketing. Okay, fine. But then it feeds into this thing where then people see it and they go like, what the fuck? This wasn't, what is this? You know, whatever. And they, because they made a shitty movie that they just kept calling a masterpiece. And then they blame Rotten Tomatoes. It's like, no, it's Rotten Tomatoes' fault.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're wrecking movies. They're destroying movies.
I think there was a lot of levels of humor on that too, because also movies have this mentality of, if it is already something that exists, let's just continue that. Mm-hmm. Instead of making something new, because we don't have to advertise something that people already understand. Mm-hmm. So like there's a million Saw movies that come out. There's a million Annabelle movies that come out. Right. Shitty movies get franchises just because they It's like a self-perpetuating thing. They already exist. So once Piss Boy 1 was made and it flopped, naturally all they could do was make Piss Boy 2.
Right.
Because it's just already a franchise. Yeah. And they just keep beating you over the head with it. And eventually they get one that makes a little bit of money. And it's like, yes.
Yeah, we did. We
finally figured it out.
And then when Rotten Tomatoes, of course, works in their favor, when they actually have something people want or value, it becomes... Yeah, certified fresh, and they put it on the cover of the movie, and it's like, so are they the enemy or not?
Yeah.
So that's kind of where the video is coming from. Is this confusing? Like, hey, it is confusing. So there it goes. Maybe that's why.
But since our video has come out, I've seen so many trailers that continue to do that, and I hope that we can, with our video and with this explanation, pull the veil off of that marketing campaign, and now the viewer, will start to recognize it too when trailers are super vague and just tell you about how perfect the film is. It's like, nah, try harder.
We
need a new kind of trailer.
But I will say, I had a blast filming this video.
Yeah, I had a lot of fun filming.
We got to go to Disneyland, the San Diego Zoo. It was a lot of fun. So, good times.
You're like a baller. That's just regular life for you.
Yeah, that's every day for me. Every day. But yeah, there was that movie. Check out Piss Boy 4, coming soon.
Piss Boy... Oh my gosh.
What's this alarm for?
I don't know. Do you ever set an alarm on your phone and then you forget to take it off and then it just keeps
going? I only set alarms for like when I wake up. So it normally doesn't.
I had to do something at 1:55 in the afternoon like 2 weeks ago and I never changed the alarm. And every day at 1:55 it goes off.
Mm.
Even today it's like I should cancel that. But you know what? I'm going to cancel it right now.
Right now.
Excuse me.
Cam.
Live canceling
on
of the
cam.
Alarm.
There it is.
Hey, while you're doing that, I did not see the new Thor.
Yeah.
I heard it's really good. Perfect
movie. This is... I'm going to bring up what I saw probably 10,000 times. Wow. I hated the first two Thors, but this one was really good.
Piss Boy.
But my thought was like, then why did you fucking see this movie?
Yeah.
You didn't have to see this.
If you saw two movies, you
like,
hated it.
Yeah, I'm glad that you liked it, I guess. But like, why the fuck are you seeing it? Like, you hated the first two.
It's exactly what the Piss Boy video is.
It is. And
if you just keep making them, eventually people will be like, oh, I've seen all the other ones. Let's all go see this one. Oh, it's a huge success. Nice.
I feel like there's something with these Marvel movies that people are addicted to. I don't get it, but there is something in them that they have to see the next Marvel movie. For some reason, they can't miss out. Or when another movie references something that happened in this movie, they'll be lost. They have to see it. I don't know what the fuck is happening. But you don't have to see these Marvel movies if you don't want to. You're not forced to do this. It's crazy. It's crazy.
When nerds go mainstream, this is the world we live in. I miss the days when nerds were obscure, like the Stranger Things kids.
I started watching that. Stranger Things, season two. And then I realized, I don't know if I needed to watch this.
I haven't watched it yet.
That's how I feel.
Honestly, controversial opinion.
Okay.
I thought the first Stranger Things was a little bit overrated.
Oh, definitely.
A little bit overrated.
I saw it before that wave came.
Me too.
I saw it right when it first came out.
But I enjoyed it, but I did. I mean, yeah, it was over.
And there was so much hype for it that now that Stranger Things 2 is around, I'm just holding off. Because everybody, you know, just keeps talking about it. Stranger Things 2 came out, and my social media, my Facebook feed has just been filled with... going to the park and watching Stranger Things 2. Good day.
Yeah.
I'm doing this thing that's fucking boring and I'm watching Stranger Things 2. That's what I call a good time. And I just think like, you sound like a sucky person. I don't want to be like you.
I'm not hating on people doing shit they enjoy.
No, I'm not. But when you post about how you're watching a TV show and that you're having a good day because of this TV show you're watching, that gets a little bit lame to me.
Sure.
That's all. I haven't even watched Stranger Things, too. I'm not judging the show.
Yeah.
Just talk about something more interesting.
I kind of felt like they wrapped it up pretty well with that first season.
Yeah, that's
and
how
that,
I felt.
But it was a smash hit, and money is out there, and they want to make more of it. So, yeah, we're going to make Stranger Things 2. And now they know the whole world's looking at them, and they have all this like pressure and hype. And it's like they're never going to live up to this, I don't think. Like, I mean, I only see a couple episodes, but we'll see.
I feel bad because people said, I'm acting like a grumpy old man with my comments about that.
Well,
but I don't want to come off that way.
Don't. Well, that's all right.
I just think that posting about a TV show you're watching is the equivalent of taking a picture of food you're about to eat. About to eat this, then eat it. And fucking enjoy it and shut up.
Sure.
How boring is your life that you're sharing a fucking bowl of soup with the world like this is the greatest thing happening in your life?
Yeah.
Go ride a fucking Sea-Doo and take a picture of that.
I watched mine.
My thoughts.
Sorry, I was just going to say, I think it's a little more valuable to have seen it and post like, okay, hey, I thought this about this.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
I see what you're saying.
You're not even giving an opinion. You're just stating that you're watching a TV show.
Yeah, happy I see what you're saying.
Happy for you, buddy.
I watched Mindhunter.
What is that?
It is another Netflix show, but this one is about like the 60s FBI trying to figure out what serial killers are and realizing that it's like a psychological thing and not just something like you're born with. It's something that you can become that because of circumstances in your life.
Yeah.
It is...
Is it a scripted show or
scripted.
Like...
Scripted.
Oh, okay.
Scripted. And David Fincher directed the first episode and the last two episodes.
Mindhunter.
I hated the first episode. Like, real talk. I did not like it. But with the show, I usually give it at least 3 to 4 episodes before write it off. And I ended up liking the other ones. So I kept watching it. And by the end, I was into it. So I would say give it a shot. Give it a couple episodes if... For me, the dialogue was so fucking lame in the first one that I just...
All right, now, you've watched Mindhunters. I haven't watched Mindhunters, but I've thought about this question before, and I'm going to ask you what you think since you've watched Mindhunters.
Yeah.
Are certain people born good? Are certain people born bad? Is there such a thing as an evil person and a good person? Or does everybody have the capability to be... an evil person, and it just comes down to the circumstances. Would you, if you lived a different life,
right?
Could you have ended up as a murderer?
Yeah.
Could you have ended up in jail?
That is a good question. But
or do you think that you're inherently good, and you say, no matter what, I would never be a killer or a serial killer?
Yeah.
Do you have the capability within you to become a serial killer?
I don't think so, but then I was raised this way, so who am I? I don't know. I mean, like... They're talking to like actual killers in this show, or like people like who were killers, you know, and they all had these like weird things happen to them that, you know, led them down this path to where they are. And then the show questions like, if that didn't happen, would they become this person? Like, who knows?
Yeah.
If their dad wouldn't have like, you know, nailed them to the floor, would they have not done this later? Like, who knows? Yeah, I don't know. Like, it's interesting. I don't have an answer because I'm not in any way qualified to answer that question, but
yeah, what do you think?
I think there are some people, there are some things in your brain that maybe you are born like to, like a sociopath. I think that you are just, you can't feel emotions the way that normal people can. You just can't. But I also, you know, I think it goes both ways.
Couldn't those people in the right circumstances turn out all right?
Probably. I'm sure there are sociopaths who are fine in society, but, you know, they still can't feel things very well.
I watched this documentary once about these guys who were in prison for life for murders they had committed, and a lot of them committed murders before the age of 25. Some of them as young as, like, 14, 15, 16.
Yeah.
And they said, you know, like, you know, take it for whatever you will, but they really regret what they did.
Sure.
And they're like, at the time... I wasn't thinking about, to me, as a 15-year-old, the idea for the rest of my life or how grand or long life was, it's just, I just wasn't thinking about that. I was only living in the moment and I was doing these things. And now that I'm older, I realize the significant impact I had, just my crimes were horrible and how I ruined other people's lives. And I felt like they genuinely had repented.
Yeah.
And it just made me think like, you know, I don't know if these guys, even though they're murderers, they're in jail for killing people, sometimes multiple people. I don't know if they were inherently bad or if they were just raised in bad circumstances where they just, I don't know.
And you know, like they say, like the baby rattlesnakes are the ones you should be afraid of because they release all their venom in you at once and kill you.
Yeah.
Whereas the adults can, you know, a little bit, just enough to get you away and solve the problem, which I kind of feel like... putting into like a human standpoint is like, yeah, the little kid doesn't understand the consequences and the gravity of the things that they're doing.
I personally believe, I think everybody has the potential to be a killer.
Okay.
I think Even Rocco, even this
sweet boy
marshmallow right here, this teddy bear, if you backed him up into a corner and his life was on the line,
yeah,
and he had a gun on him, he would fight and he would kill. Well,
it's funny.
I
think you're right. I listened to this podcast recently called Dirty John, and it's a real life story in 6 episodes by the, I think it's LA Times who did this, but it's about this one guy and like kind of goes through his life of like how he was born evil. Everyone is like, this guy is just fucking evil. And it really is like, was he born evil? But then it goes into his childhood and it's like, that's pretty fucked up. The things that were happening, like, how were you made? And it answers, it asks that exact question. So,
wait, you, idea?
No, I think, yeah, everybody has the potential to go, you know, it's like, I don't know. I think people get severely misled or mistreated in their lives and,
yeah,
and it sends them down a path that they can't, you know what I mean? That it's hard to get away from, but I think they can. But it's just, yeah, I don't know.
I want to hear the story, if there's an example out there, of the guy who had the perfect life and still turned out super evil.
Sure.
Is that, now that's the show I want to watch.
Yeah.
Like the rich guy with a lot of friends, you know, had the world.
American Psycho.
Yeah, maybe. Except that was just a book. That's not even real.
Oh.
Scarface. He had the perfect life.
He
had the perfect life, didn't he?
Who, Scarface?
Wasn't he like...
Yeah. That guy grew up like...
The world was his.
I just saw the middle of that movie and that's it. So I think he had the perfect life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that sounds good. Mm-hmm. That's okay, all I thought.
You know what? Somebody put OJ Simpson. Come on. We don't even know if he did it. Yeah. Okay.
It's split. I'd say a little heavier towards innocent.
Give OJ a break. anyways, Mindhunters. I might check that out. That sounds interesting.
Check it out.
Real quick, just on the media subject.
Yeah.
We were just talking before the podcast about there were talks today that Fox might sell to Disney.
Yeah.
Now they're saying, oh, no, we dropped those talks. That's it.
Yeah.
But what a crazy concept. That could even be possible.
Hey, I'm into it. Let's get crazy.
Here's how I feel about it. On one side, over on this side, you have, okay, all the Star Wars movies can be released now under, no more of the rights bullshit.
Right.
And also, the X-Men can be in the Avengers. You know, and I just said I don't really care about, you know, the superhero movie stuff.
Right.
Hey, man. You throw the X-Men in there, I think I bought it.
And also, all right. Yeah.
Hey,
we can get,
you got them all.
We can finally get Mulder and Scully as characters at Disney World.
Yeah, fuck it.
Oh, dude, have the Simpsons at Disneyland.
Yeah,
Simpsons Land.
Sorry, Universal Studios, you got to take that out.
You got to get rid of
and
it.
And then Fox News, that's basically like Disney Channel 2.
Oh.
So that's on one hand.
iCarly? Is that Disney Channel or is that Nick Jr.?
That's Nickelodeon.
Fuck.
So cut that out.
iCarly is a little bit too intelligent for the Fox News crowd. I don't think they get it.
Okay,
so that's on this hand. The other hand, one company owns half the things in the fucking world.
Sure.
So, I don't know. Yeah. How do you reconcile it?
I don't know. I'm just going to sit back and do literally nothing and then let the cards fall as they may.
Eventually, everything will be owned by Disney. They're the front runners. At this point, they're too big to turn the train around now. So.
Wasn't there talk that at one point Apple was going to buy Disney?
That comes around all the time.
Yeah, that is fucking crazy too.
Apple has enough liquid cash just sitting around that I think they could.
Man.
They have like $100 billion, like not tied up in the company.
Yeah.
Just like
offshore came
just
in.
We're not even using
Apple,
that.
Apple, buy me.
Not paying
I'm
taxes.
I'm right here and I am willing to sell.
Yeah.
Well, way cheaper than Disney.
Untaxable income, not helping out the nation, just waiting to spend it on something.
Yeah, spend it on us. Apple, don't you want some sick vids, some cool skits?
Yeah.
We'll do like a cool like...
We'll film this like really cool video of showing off the iPhone 10 in your cafeteria.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll be like, look what this does. Hi, I'm in the Apple corporate cafeteria here.
Check out the iPhone
10.
Showing
off secrets.
Yeah.
And we do a prank on Tim Cook. Oh my God, Tim Cook, all your employees were killed in this horrible accident.
Now they're never going to hire us because you said this. You just fucking blew it.
It's a prank,
Tim
bro.
Cook, we changed the name.
It's a prank, bro.
We changed the name of your company to Banana.
That's a better prank
than
what you said.
That's a good prank.
But Apple, ignore what he said.
No, I like my angle.
See, I'm going with the Disney ideas. Hey, I saw Happy Death Day.
You did?
Yeah.
That's
was
a great
it Groundhog's
title.
Day?
That's a great title.
Spoiler. I'm going to spoil some
I'm ready
Day.
For it.
Happy Death Day has been out for about a month now.
Yeah.
You would have seen it now if you cared.
Mm.
So I'm going to spoil some of it.
Please.
They name drop Groundhog's Day
in that
movie.
They do.
Nice.
And I thought, you know, like, F you.
Right.
You don't get to just say what you're doing.
Yeah, we know it.
Oh, I guess it's all in the clear now.
Right?
Because you admit to stealing another movie's idea. This girl, if you don't know what Happy Death Day about is.
Yeah.
If you don't know what Happy Death Day is about.
Just say it. Masterpiece.
Masterpiece. Spellbinding. The perfect horror movie. A girl, it's her birthday, and at the end of the day, she gets stabbed to death. She gets murdered. She wakes up the next day back in her bed. Well, it's not her bed, but she starts the day all over again. And it's real weird. And then she goes, lives her day completely differently, gets murdered again. And it just keeps happening and happening and happening until she can find out who the killer is.
Ah.
So at one point, she's explaining her situation to another character, and he goes, "You know what this sounds like? It sounds like that Bill Murray movie, Groundhog's Day."
And this only is her, more of a deathy version.
Here's her response. What is Groundhog's Day?
Oh, no.
Oh, hell yeah.
You've never heard of Groundhog's Day?
Oh, my.
It's a Bill Murray movie. Who's Bill Murray? You don't know who Bill Murray? And I'm just sitting there thinking, like, this is like the biggest fuck you. You stole Bill Murray's classic movie, and then you're acting like nobody's fucking heard of it or heard of him. What a fucking kick in the nuts to Bill Murray. You're shitting all over the movie you stole.
Oh, my God.
That was one thought I had. Now, here's the thing. The movie, I didn't hate it. It was actually entertaining.
Sure.
Okay. It's a horror movie.
That concept is an entertaining concept. Yeah,
I mean, horror movies, I don't expect groundbreaking Oscar-worthy films. I was enjoying it. About three quarters of the way into the movie, I started getting a little bored. And I was like, all right, she gets killed every day. I get it. Wrap it up.
Oh, the day she doesn't get killed. Twist.
Doesn't happen. But here's what I thought. I would have solved this fucking mystery on day two. You're telling me that on this day, I walk down here into this area of school and this guy shows up with a knife and kills me? You know what I'm doing on day two?
Yeah.
I'm getting a fucking gun.
Uh-huh.
I'm going back to that spot
right.
at the exact same time.
Yeah.
Oh, you're here to kill me? Guess what? Fucking locked and loaded.
Yeah.
Roll credits.
Yeah.
This girl does a different fucking thing every day. She never does the same routine twice.
Oh, come on. No, you got to do the same thing.
You got to do the same. I'm thinking like,
you have a consistent, you know what's going to happen.
You have the advantage of the pre-experienced knowledge.
Right.
Haven't you ever played a video game and you go through and a character pops out and kills you and you respawn?
And you don't do that again?
You go, I know the guy's got to pop out of that door now.
Yeah.
Get the fucking shotgun exactly. ready. Come on!
Oh my God.
It was an entertaining movie, but not a very smart movie.
Mm.
And I was disappointed in that shit. But, you know, had a good time. So I,
right.
you know...
What
Thumbs
was
up.
What was that new movie? The Snowman? That was called?
Snowman. Yeah.
The drive-in a little ways away from us is playing Happy Death Day and Snowman as a double feature right now.
Oh, man.
Which is like the shit combo.
And I heard they're doing a triple feature the next week.
Yeah.
Hawk Torture. Just the fun trilogy.
So if we get bored, we should go do that and do the shit combo.
Nice.
Yeah.
That would be fun. Movie Pass work at the drive-in?
Probably not.
I'm gonna wager no.
That's a good question. Why not?
Because it's not on the approved list of like official thing. Because this is the mom and pop thing.
I guess our local.
I haven't checked. Well, look,
they probably make more money if they signed up for it.
Yeah
they should. Anyway,
well, that was our show.
There was
sorry,
man. Can I spoil Happy Death Day?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't care. Does Kevin care?
You can go ahead.
All right.
Do the people at home care? Well, you know,
we're gonna do the old waving the arms when the spoiling is over. So mute your speakers now if you don't want to hear this. I am going into it now. I laughed so hard when the killer was revealed. I called it from the beginning. I was sure. like, there's one character in this whole movie that is nice to this girl, but she's like a frumpy looking, kind of dumpy looking character who is like here and then not involved for the rest of the day. And I'm just watching the movie being like, I bet that's the killer. And at the end, it ends up being that person. And she's like, why have you been killing me? And you fucking a guy that I like. And she, it was so funny. A testament to how bad some of the dialogue is in this movie. This movie has notoriously bad dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
The victim goes, you're killing me because over a guy you like? And the killer goes, yeah. And because you're a dumb bitch.
Got it.
And then they get into the big climactic fight of the movie. I was fucking laughing in my seat. I was like, yeah, that's a good reason to kill somebody because they're a dumb bitch. You know what?
Yeah.
I'm trying to think back in the history of all horror movies if there's ever been a better reason to murder somebody. Because you're a dumb bitch. All right.
Got her.
That's all. Spoilers over.
Spoilers are
happy
over,
death
everybody.
Day. Spoilers over.
Happy death day. Awesome dialogue. Perfect writing. A masterpiece.
Masterpiece.
In writing.
Spellbinding.
Yes.
One for the ages. Instant classic.
Instant classic. We're at the end of the show. I want to say, if you get the chance, if you like our show, if you're a fan of it, I'm going to say this right now and hear me clearly. We just put the best merchandise of all time on our website.
Wow.
Spellbinding, a masterpiece. Go to shop.mega64.com. Just this last Friday, we restocked some stuff. We put out the charm shirt. We restocked that classic shirt. But we just restocked this shirt.
Oh, shit.
For the first time since, you know, back in the day, we did like a short run pre-order of this shirt. But we had some left over and we put them on the store. It's the California Gamist shirt. Which I love. One of my favorite designs. Classic California design. Go to shop.mega64.com and pick one up. We restocked the neon shirt too, which is an old classic, but some sizes were missing. That's back. But we got all kinds of good stuff. So go to shop.mega64.com. By the way, Black Friday is looming closer.
Oh, my God.
Expect some announcements soon on what you're going to see that day. But you're in for some treats. And as always, you know, we're putting stuff on our Patreon. Go to patreon.com/mega64 and we're putting stuff on there. Just this last weekend, put up the Friend Dimension episode where we all played Street Fighter 2 Turbo. If you wanted to see us in a totally fair Street Fighter match, totally well balanced. Who is the greatest Street Fighter player of all time? You will find out when you watch that episode.
Of all time.
Of all time. And then there's a new Heart Slayers, right? You just made that public?
New Heart Slayers is on our archive channel. And if you want to see new episodes 1 week early, sign up for the Patreon. It's just $1.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, we'll be recording a new Heart Slayers tomorrow, Tuesday at 10 a.m. So please give us a call. Call in. If you have any issue you want to talk about,
yep.
We get a lot of emails, but sometimes the emails don't go into enough detail.
Mm.
And
you want to keep talking, a dialogue.
Yeah, I want to get the juicy details of your situation. So please call us up. If you're watching this podcast now in the middle of the day, I know you ain't got no job. I know you got nothing going on. Call into Heart Slayers.
Yeah.
Let's talk about your hot probs.
Hot probs.
Mm.
Anyway.
And Game Days is coming up.
Yes, it's this week.
This weekend. Oh, my God.
Talking about Game Days. We still have tickets available, right?
Guys, it has sold out every year after we announced the guests. We have added as many as we can possibly, as many tickets as we can fit.
The hotel called us crying, saying no more.
Yeah.
We're at capacity.
So we're trying to add as many as we can to where we can keep the tickets on sale until the day of. So they're on sale right now. The price did go up, but you can still get one. You can absolutely get a ticket.
I think we decided, we talked about this, you will be able to buy tickets at the door.
We're going to try to see if we can.
Now, here's the thing. It's first come, first serve. If we're at capacity, if you show up thinking you're just going to buy a ticket at the door, you might get turned away.
The fire marshal could say no.
You might get turned away, but you never know. The tickets will be more expensive at the door. If you want to go, buy them this week.
Yeah.
We've announced all the guests, right?
Yeah, the guests. We just put out the exhibit. Yeah, obviously Fatal Farm and Nathan Barnett are the guests that are doing panels. But we've got plenty of booths with people, too. Octopimp is going. The Anime Trash Swag team is going.
Super Awesome Showdown. We'll be having an event that night, an official satellite event. That'll be not at the hotel, but they will have a presence at Game Days in the hotel. Yeah.
So that's going to be there. The guys at IDW Games are going to be there with like a bunch of whole bunch of stuff, board games and stuff. Their booth is going to be awesome. Mariel and Tyson are going, two of the best artists
in the world.
Two of the GOAT artists, greatest of all time, in case you never heard that abbreviation, artists. They are going to be there. A whole bunch of people are going to be there. So you guys are in for a treat.
And before we sign off, I just want to talk about real quick, you know, this weekend is Dapper Day at Disneyland.
Is it?
Yeah. Oh. And Dapper Day is getting fucking huge. It's bigger than ever. People, oh, I can wear my fedora. Oh, I can wear my polka dot dress to Disneyland. That's lame. Game Days needs to be bigger than Dapper Day.
I agree. You know, I'm on board.
For as many people out there who like wearing bow ties and nets over their faces and saying they look dapper, there's more gamers out there, more people who like to play goddamn Halo and Doom and fucking Mario.
Exactly.
That should be the number one Disneyland day. And
hell yeah.
Game Days is that day. It's a day for all gamers, okay? I know it's the Mega 64 fan meetup and we unofficially go to Disneyland, whatever, but moving forward, let's not limit it to just internet soldiers. Anybody with a love of video games should come to Disneyland on game days, meet fellow gamers, celebrate your love, connect with people that you have a common interest with. So I just want to put that out there. Game Days is next weekend.
Yep.
Even if you don't want to come to our event, come out to Disneyland. Tell all your friends who love video games, this is the day for people who love games to come to Disneyland. Come to Game Days.
Yes.
Hell yeah.
Wear your Mario hat. Wear your Zelda.
People have done that.
Wear your Atari t-shirt. Wear your Halo shoes. And come on out. Come to the parks.
Hell yeah. What am I going to wear? I got a Rez shirt. I might wear that.
Wear a Rez shirt. It doesn't have to just be about Mega 64.
How many
Pokemon Go Pokestops are at California Adventure, guys? 500 million.
That's true.
So come down. We'll get some raids together.
Even if you just want to go to Disneyland on that day, that's cool.
That's cool.
You don't have to hang out with us. We have a whole agenda planned for California Adventure that I'm really looking forward to.
Yes.
I'm actually looking more forward to this Game Days of California Adventure than I have to the last couple of Disneyland, because I've gone to Disneyland for many years. I know what's there. I haven't been to California Adventure in a long time, and it's going to be fresh.
Yeah, it's going to be cool.
It's going to be hot. We're going to have a full day back-to-back activities. You're not going to have a moment of wasted time. You're going to remember this for the rest of your life.
Best of your life.
It's going to be the best California Adventure experience you will ever have in your entire life this weekend. So come on out. Don't waste any time.
Somebody in the chat says they don't want to go on the Haunted Mansion because it's NBC themed. That's not true. They put all the friends in there last year and it didn't work out. She got off the plane. Anyway.
Good night.
Take care. Good night, everybody. Take care. Must see TV this Friday. Thursday.
Yeah.
What day was it?
It was Thursday.
Fuck.